Right, we are live. The screen is black on purpose so far. So far.
Yeah, maybe we'll put some spooky stuff soon.
Let's hope it's freaking working. It is. Cool.
It is? Cool.
Alright. Aha! It's gonna be nice. Gonna be real
nice. It is. Feels nice.
Keep an eye on the chat for me because I cannot until I get another monitor.
I will. I do that for fun.
Actually, this is fine.
I don't know. Weird thought. I don't think anyone will ever consider, like, music from now oldies.
Ever?
Yeah.
Oh my. What the f- I can't even see anything. Some real niggardly business is happening.
It gets me always.
What do I have here? Oh, right.
So strange, man. Could it be possible that... No, I think, like... A world like the 1920s depends on too many people working in collaboration. To happen again with the state of things. Ah, dude. Anyway.
Someone really does not want to be found here.
Skyrim? Oh, it's.
Oh, shit.
Well, I'm about to start. I'm about to start reading. Pastas on X. From X, rather.
Did it work? Did she get raped? Oh, yeah, she did, but she's gonna try to rape me, not her friends. That's not good. I want you guys to rape each other.
Gee. Full talent check.
Let me just get a quick one in here. 700 saves? You know me. Probably this. Sneaking for no reason. Because I can't. Is anybody else here? Anybody here? Oh shoot. Got the jewelry. Oh, what the frick? Big mistake. Big gonna die. Just died. Big. Sword.
No, nobody threads on X give good insight to schizo reality. Well, alright. I think I ought to begin reading.
Oh no. Oh boy.
Okay, this let me get good. The
gonna get raped. Big.
To start, I apologize in advance for the length of the story. I'm gonna reread the beginning of it.
Alright.
It wasn't in the stream before.
Yes.
To start, I apologize in advance for the length of this story and want to firmly make sure that I do not care if it is believed or not. If you cannot believe it, I can only say I understand and win myself if I hadn't experienced it.
Oh?
This was 3 years ago. Nice. I was doing postgraduate study which concerned Aboriginal communities. I was allowed a placement in the Yolngu town of Rumingening in the Arnhem Land.
Rumingening.
Yeah, that's the name. Which is a tiny strip of halfway urbanized land that borders the huge bog, which is rather kindly called Arafura Swamp. The swamp is probably one of the most wild places in Australia. Imagine a country-sized swathed of perpetually decaying forest, flooded in a stagnant, foul-smelling water plain, and with crocs. My place was basically a shack, and it was right at the edge of the swamp. It was technically not within the town limits, and actually set a good couple miles away, along a dirt road. It was an abandoned country house, and I had it all to myself. The back had a veranda to look out over the great black swamp. Some very impressive views would come around dusk. And on either side, it was enclosed in a dusty circle of eucalyptus. I knew literally no one out there, and won't lie when I say it was pretty creepy those first weeks trying to acclimate to being more truly alone than I had ever been before. In this old rusty tin shed of a house, halfway out of town in a clearing at the edge of the swamp. But adaptiveness is a virtue, and I soon found myself spending my spare time fixing up the place and even sowing seed in the front and chopping some littler trees down. I remember my pride as I felled a small tree for the first time after hours of panting. When I went into town and sold off the wood, I told the folk there it had taken a lot less time than it really did. They were all well accustomed to hard labor, and it was quite a culture shock when I cooked dinner at homes that didn't have a television, let alone a computer. The people did not all live in exactly what would be termed poverty, as some places were wealthier than others, in a typical sense, and there was a real effort at maintaining a distance from some norms of outer society anyway. For example, there was, and remains, a ban on alcohol that was taken fairly seriously while I was there. So I was sober for a full year, although many here in the story have suggested I was drunk or high. The first month or so was rocky but invigorating and really kept me going. As I've said, I struggled a bit with the isolation and having to spend my time doing things I never would usually, like tilling the soil and chopping timber wood. But it was good detox, and after a while the smell of the swamp got less bad. At first, the sounds of the different birds and nightlife damn near kept me up at night, but in time I learned to distinguish the birds and reptile noises and found comfort in them. On two occasions I was lucky enough to hear the booming voice crocodile near the house. It was real back to nature, and by the second month I really got into the swing of it, and had adapted fully to having long periods of time alone with myself in the bush. It was sometime the second month that it first happened, though at the time I thought nothing of it. I was sitting on the back veranda on a very warm, crisp afternoon. I was reading, I think, when after some time I became aware of a strange silence. I had to strain my ears for a while, but soon I could confirm that there was only the sound of a slight breeze, the soft movement of water, and the creak of my rocking chair. The usually all-enveloping choir of birds, bugs, and frogs had at some point subsided. As I registered the sudden silence, a feeling like no other crawled down me, and I actually physically shuddered. It was like my bones were briefly frosted, and I was washed over with an internal coldness and a tingle throughout my skin. I became very dizzy, and I thought I might vomit. So I stood up, and in the second that I put my head, it happened. And it was over before I could register what I had seen. It's impossible to describe how I must be perceived at the time. How it must have been perceived at the time. All I can say is that I saw a nearby tree, a long, thin, white spear that stood some distance back from and beneath a couple bigger ones. This tree was like many others. It had shed its branches, leaving just a thin trunk standing upright. What I saw was this tree twitching rapidly, like it was having a seizure, before wriggling into place and going still again. No other tree nearby did the same. I doubted my own eyes. Dizziness forgotten, I stared at it for a long time. Not terribly scared, but not particularly comfortable either. I could not tell what I had seen and whether or not it was a side effect of head rush or not. The tree just stood there, still as ever, and I noticed the bird song had come back and warmth returned to my body, and I forgot about it for a long time. I had gotten in with a school teacher in the area, and now spend 3 weekdays getting to talk to kids at the education center, so I was spending less daylight hours on the house. On those swamp-lit dusks, I would tend to sit on the veranda and have a quiet smoke, maybe read until night came. As summer was turning into whatever season came next, the cycle was not very pronounced in that region, which remains very humid most of the year. I noticed an increase in insects. I don't mind bugs, but I think everything is slightly creeped out by those long-legged flying crane flies the witch in that area, were called Daddy Longleg. I remember sitting at the veranda and seeing for the first time a great swarm of the things, maybe just hatched, forming great clouds against the orangey light of the sky. The crane flies in that swarm got so big that you could hear them rustling against each other, and that is no exaggeration. These things could be meters away and you would hear the vibration sound of their wings. As I say, I'm not too afraid of bugs, but when I went to take a piss in the middle of the night, the toilet was a bit of an outhouse, and find myself in a cramped space with a gull-sized crane fly buzzing around the light, occasionally bumping into me and filling my body with its horrible legs. I was a tad on edge. The other bug, which began to cause me some anxiety, was a kind of mollusk with like a barnacle, which would appear in clumps on the water edge after it had been raining. These things weren't particularly creepy, but they worried me because they grow rapidly and would often spread to the steps on the veranda. I asked a local fisherman how to remove them, and he went to his truck and returned with a metal paint scraper. So I added the job of scraping these little barnacle things off the old wooden steps. It was not fun experiencing their reddish interior bodies, the way they peeled off like a hard-shelled scab, and the truly noxious smell. Aside from the growing presence of the insects inside and around the house, I was keeping well. I kept clearing the area of weed plants and chopping down little trees to sell in the town, as well as insects. Seasonal change had brought a tide of litter in the water, which I was told happened every year. More and more clumps of old plastics and bottles and all types of things was accumulating in a line of detritus. Detritus? D-E-T-R-I-T-U-S.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be that.
Outside the house, I started picking it up in the mornings, keeping the water clean while I was there. It was as I did this one morning that for whatever reason I chose to look directly up at that old white tree I had briefly freaked out over, and I saw it was not there. At first, more confused than frightened, I paced the waterline, convinced I had mistaken where it was placed. But no, there was no mistake. Everything about the area looked as it always had, clear in my mind from many evening study. All but that little tree, where now there was just a bare spot of land. I had no time to think of it, but as I spent the day teaching, I more and more dreaded the return to home. I even tried to arrange for a couple of friends I'd made to come over that night, but they insisted on postponing till the weekend. So I drove home alone that night. When I got back, it was fully dark. The evening calls of the owls and swamp birds gave me little comfort. I couldn't shake the image of that shivering tree. I had no reason to think anything of it, nor what it might mean, but the image, like a horrible glitch in reality, pestered me no matter how much I tried to distract myself. I'll never forget that night as I lay, wide awake in the dark, hearing outside my window this sound, this slow, drawn-out creak and cracking noise. I had heard it before, one sound of the forest out of many, but on this night, it pierced my frayed nerves. I lay there a long time listening to it. It sounded like some kind of rickety pole were swaying barely inches from my window. I was too cowardly to look out the window, so I examined the patch of moonlight it cast on the floor. I could see so many moving things, the limbs of trees in the wind, that it was impossible to make out anything. Then, with total clarity, I heard this dreadful noise. Tap, 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 against the glass. There was no mishearing it, no denying it. Plain as day, there was something tapping the glass just above my head. There was no tree growing near the window, nor even a bush or anything else for that matter. I frantically tried to think up contrived reasons. Maybe the guttering had fallen loose and was tapping the glass in the wind, or maybe it was one of those crane flies. But I couldn't bring myself to look and lay there, rigid, pretending to be asleep. I waited like this for about 20 minutes before the noise faded. It took me a while to work up the nerve to look out, but of course, when I did, there was nothing there. After a while, it was easier to convince myself that it actually had been something normal, that it was a minor thing, and got to sleep. The next day was particularly bright. was that kind of heat thick and palpable in the air. Saying something, given the usual weather. In a way, my memory of the day, revisited so many times, saturated in heat, like a photo gets dimmed over time, left in the light. When first I got up, it was just another day. The events of the previous night in the odd tree were forgotten as I went through the automatic morning rituals. It hadn't got really hot yet, and everything was nicely lit. The view of the swamp was gorgeous. The sun behind the canopy seemed to frost every leaf with gold. There was an upswell of bird noise, and I saw a couple of waiting birds out for frogs or lizards, anticipating the heat of the day. I worked a lot on my study in the morning. After a few too many coffees, I came down with that overstimulated restlessness, and I couldn't focus on work anymore, continuously looking out the window and finding chores to do. The view out the window was especially appealing. The caffeine and the brightness projected everything in rich detail. Seeing some rubbish on the shoreline, I convinced myself to dredge it out. So happily, I went down to the water and about the little islands and rivulets, picking up the junk that had floated in overnight. Or maybe some had just been bobbing there a long time before I came. It was hard to tell. Stacking it up into a little pile of gunk. This is when some strange things happened. In one moment, I noticed a bound book, half buried at a detritus bank or on the shoreline. Consciously, I picked that out of the rest, feeling about it. So I crack it open, a bit encased in mud, and opened up a couple of pages. It was the annual collected issue of a business journal. There were lots of different issues with covers and stuff. It seemed business-oriented. At the back, however, was a list of the year's grants that included scholarships for university. Scrolling the list of scholarship grants, I saw my, in plain delight, my name. I haven't told this story to many people, but whenever I do, they seemed unimpressed by this fact. Of course it was there. I did have a scholarship, and it was a business journal with a list of scholarships. I know, and I'm not saying it was paranormal, necessarily, but understand how weird it felt to be the furthest you've ever been from home, pick a random book out of the water, and see your own name in it. Regardless of how stupid it was, I shivered. Closed the book and put it in the junk pile. When I stood to get up and saw a man standing on the other side of the stream watching me. Already a little unsettled, and I nearly defecated on myself when I saw him. It wasn't just that I hadn't seen a single other person on the property since I'd been there. It wasn't just that he was standing there silently, looking at me. He was also half standing behind the trunk of a tree, so I could only see one arm and a leg and one half of his face. But he wasn't hidden at all, and couldn't have been trying to be. He was just standing halfway behind a tree. His shirt and pants were a browny gray and pretty faded into the background, but his face and limbs were white, stood out in contrast. Before I have time to collect myself, and I see his one arm waving at me, in a friendly gesture, not in a threatening way at all. I wave back and then stand there, not knowing what to do because he doesn't make a single movement. He just stays exactly where he is, looking at me. There's no way I'm approaching this guy, so I just wave again, kind of vaguely pointing towards my house to indicate I'm going inside or something. He waves back, but still doesn't move. So I head back to the house, trying to carefully maintain a steady pace, for some reason not wanting to walk too fast to give away how rattled I was. Once I dare to look over my shoulder and caught sight of his leg, turn back and going into the forest. Slightly relieved, I went back home and locked the doors. I wanted to latch the windows even, but the heat contained in the house was already great enough with them open. The wallpaper glue was visible on the walls like sweat. The isolated events now weighed on me heavily. While previously none of these weird incidents had overwhelmed my experience, I was now unable to stop my heart racing. Stop scaring myself with thoughts of that man standing behind that tree. With great difficulty, I calmed myself enough to decide that heading into town was the best option. Not trusting the security of the place, I decided I would bring my laptop and a few of my belongings. So I'm sitting at the table, brooding over my breakfast bowl, and I become aware of a disturbance of light on my right-hand side. I turn, and there is a face right there. I swore aloud and stood up, nerves on the edge of actually splitting. The face leans back, and I see two arms raised. It's a man. His shirt and whiteness making me instantly aware it's the creep from the swamp. I hear him say, "Sorry, didn't mean to scare you," or something like that, and say he didn't know the place was occupied. That he saw me down in the swamp and was intrigued by a stranger to the place. He asked to come in. I said yes. What else could I do? And went to open the front door for him. For a moment, he stood on the doorstep, then smiled and gave me his hand to shake and said, "Thanks, nice to meet you and such." Then he came in. Up close, the guy looked pretty old. He was encrusted in a tan, but clearly white, and his skin looked pretty cracked up and wrinkled in places. His face had a spooky quality, even though it wasn't particularly screwed up. Hard to explain. It wasn't a major difference or anything, but his face, and especially his expression, just seemed a bit younger somehow than the rest of him. I was probably just dazed off the heat and the day's events, but this has always stayed in memory, how his face was just a little off. It was sort of awkward, me walking pointlessly into the kitchen and him standing in the doorway between it and the hall, smiling but not talking. I asked if he wanted coffee, and he said sure and sat down, then asked about me and what a whitey was doing out in the swamps. I told him about my studies and such, sort of vaguely, tentative to say too much to this weird, smiling old guy. But as it turned out, he didn't seem to be remotely interested in me at all. He just smiled dozily, and as soon as I stopped talking, he started telling me about himself, without any indication of hearing what I just said. Put down the coffees and sat myself at the table as he carried on excitedly. He would sometimes get ahead of himself in his innocent sentence with a jumble of gibberish words and his thick Bushman accent. He didn't seem immediately threatening, but I definitely did not feel he was of his right mind. He said he lived up north, but lived off the land in the swamp most of the time. For a long time, he just spoke of tilling the soil and catching his own food, living in huts, and that sort of thing. But then he awkwardly cracked out a peal of laughter and asked loudly, "You got a girl here?" I was pretty taken aback, but before I could answer, his smile completely flipped and he asked, suddenly stern, almost angry, "Is there a girl here, mate?" I shook my head, but now the atmosphere had changed completely. He was gripping the table hard. "Oh, just saw something I didn't mean to see." Spoil myself with some spook. I'll be right back. Gotta get myself some water.
Alright. Bruh! Okay, wait a second. I'm gonna poop my pants. I'm just killing this guy so I can reset his inventory, although I don't know if it applies to this, to be honest. What are y'all saying in the chat? Yes, the vibe is preheated. Interesting story so far. Haven't really been paying attention, been kind of caught up in my own, retarded... Round of applause. Skyrim has changed since I played. I don't remember all the rape. I'm playing this, I'm playing the rape mod right now. Nah, I'm playing, Beyond Skyrim Bruma. So. Is that Soph? Who's Soph? I don't know. Guess you're gonna have to find out. Big round of applause. Big round of applause. All right. Nope. Anyways, I can't even manage to kill a merchant. That's how good I am. Can I like cast fear on him? Is that gonna do anything cool? It's just gonna be like, ah. He was already doing that, so. Oh shoot, the guards are, why do they always have to come in here? This like 20s music is not very fitting to my current situation, or maybe it is. It's just gonna flame Atronach. All I need to do is kill him, then after that, anything goes.
I'm back.
Hello. He just appears in the room immediately.
This is good and interesting. Effect on him. Why are you doing things you're not supposed to? You're getting bounty.
I know, I'm just trying to reset his inventory, which I don't even know if it works anymore. We'll see.
Some African American, can mods let me say N-word in chat?
Yes, it worked. He has gold again. Epic.
Also, Thea said yes, so I guess yes.
Huh? What? I don't know what I agreed to.
Okay, I'll continue.
Oh, I already drained his inventory again. Time to kill.
Let me hear the audio, see how well it is. Hey, are you playing the music in the background?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Can't hear anything.
You're smoking.
Oh, I think, yeah, I think it's just... Maybe, turn it up a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty low, okay. So.
Yeah, turn it up a bit. And turn Skyrim down a bit.
Yep.
Not on the game, but on the stream if you can.
On the stream I can't do that, but oh, okay. I can survive.
Oh yeah. By consistency, if you don't curse, you don't say the N-word. But if you curse, there's no reason for you to not say the N-word.
Yeah.
On principle.
Which is great because everyone who doesn't use the N-word for, like, racial purposes, swears all the time.
Yeah.
So how about that one?
So if you're cursing all the time, nothing should stop you from saying the N-word. I'm saying this to an audience of 30 people. 2 a.m. Funny worlds. Anywho, I'll proceed. Recap, the guy was gripping the table hard, asking the protagonist if there was a girl in the house. Then just as quickly as it came on, this moment passed, and he continued as if nothing happened. It was the most schizophrenic thing I'd ever seen. I can't remember what he said after that, but eventually he showed himself out, coffee left untouched, and after walking a while down to the swamp, looked back at me and said, as if touching on a shared joke, "Couldn't keep a girl safe here, anywhere, with all them bloody wargles," and walked off. Wargles was the word used to describe Aboriginal people in, like, the 1800s. Fairly creeped out, I locked up and took my gear and the car out to town. The heat wasn't letting up, and the car ride is, in my mind, a bit of a haze. Outside the school, I saw another teacher packing her things in her own car. She waved, and I pulled up beside her. I must have looked shaken because she asked what was the matter with me. I told her about the weird man, to which she grinned knowingly and said, "Did he scare you?" She said he was mischievous but harmless. I remember her words, "He'll screw with you, but he doesn't hurt a fly, if it is him." He said he wasn't often seen. It was as if she were talking about a folk tale more than a real man. Apparently, this man had lived near the area about 9 or 10 years ago. Recently as that, he had been a regular visitor to the town and a well-liked guy. She had been much younger then, but remembered that he would drive through town and sell veggies and homemade jam, and he was fondly regarded by most. His wife was typically with him. She described them as a sweet old couple. The two were regarded highly enough that when his wife passed away, she was buried near the grounds. Some friends from the town helped at the funeral. The guy was obviously distraught and seemed completely shell-shocked for a long time after it happened. His trips into town got less and less regular. His demeanor seemed subtly changed, still jolly, but in a different, a stranger way. His behavior was increasingly odd. Everyone understood his pain following the death of his only real close company, so when he referred to her in passing, her daily doings as if she wasn't dead, there was mostly just sympathy, as well as the expectation that with some support he would get back to his old self. But things were only downhill from there. There were uncomfortable encounters where he asked people if they'd seen her around, to which there could be no easy response. The discomfort was not lessened when he started showing up disoriented, crying, telling people his wife had gone missing, that a search party needed to be formed immediately. Things came to a head when someone refused to dance around the issue and simply told him the fact of the matter. His wife was dead, buried not far out of town. By all accounts, the man's response had been shocked, though not as unhinged as perhaps expected. Sort of sadly accepted what he'd been told and wasn't seen around town for a while. But when next he came back, his behavior was only more screwed up. He announced that he didn't trust a single Warrigal, that he knew they'd done something with his wife. After some drunken spiels against Warrigals and anger at their having stolen his wife, keeping her captive somewhere, he was strongly dissuaded by some local leaders from coming into town, as he had used to, and seemed to understand because he wasn't seen in the town again. Word spread from some northern bars that he'd been seen drunk as a fish, telling anyone who would listen to swamp warrigals that tormented his wife in her final days, driving her mad with their mischief, and how he hadn't believed her until it was too late. He was now fully convinced that a tribe had taken her away and were holding her captive somewhere in a swamp. It also emerged that he had lost his house and his car, but he was still seen from time to time at the outskirts of the swamp, hunting. Eventually, he wasn't even a regular at any bar, and as the years passed, faded into a half-mythical figure, the mad old man of the swamp. Yet he was real. Sometimes hunting parties from the town would see him, even trade with him despite his now full-fledged hostility towards any and all warrigals he met. So this was the story she told me. She stressed, as I will hear, couldn't confirm any of this, having only memories of the man's happy years and having not seen him since. Some of the tale probably was just the garnishing of the legend. But that he was out in the swamp for long periods at a time was certain, and the hunting parties which came across him always reported that he was convinced of his wife's continued existence as a captive to some unknown tribe somewhere in the swamp. Now this tale left me feeling overwhelmed, exhausted, but nonetheless a bit relieved. The frightfulness of this man was cut down a fair bit by the patheticness of his story, and I felt a bit sorry for him. But I didn't want to go home for a while and spend some time alone in the town before heading back out. I got home just past dusk, when there was still a faint light about things. But as I tentatively looked around the house, half expecting something to pop out and spook me, I was aware of a greater darkness than usual. It took me a while, but I investigated the windows and found that on those facing the swamp, there was a growing layer of this barnacle-looking mollusk. It's hard to describe what it was like seeing a cluster of these cramped up on the glass, but if you've seen the inside of a rock clinger, fleshy part under the shell, you've got a good idea. I almost gagged. I didn't much want to, but I worked up the nerve to go out and scrape them off. Well, the whole bottom part of the wall was practically packed with them. A lot had been there a long time, or maybe had dried up and hardened in the sun, because scraping them off with like pulling teeth. When they finally fell down, they took a wee bit of splintered wood with them. Darkness settled, and I was still going, working by the indoor lights of my torch. It was only once I'd finished leaving a sickly-smelling pile of the things at the base of the wall, piles of husks I couldn't be bothered to do anything with, that I realized how late it was and the deep silence that permeated everything. Little sounds were painfully heightened, enhanced by my frayed nerves, like the tiny drops of water somewhere nearby as a bird or a fish or something moved about, and the slight rustling of leaves on a mostly still night. I had the feeling of being watched. Now I was well aware that was just my mind playing tricks on me, but after the day's events, I couldn't be asked, putting up with this mischievous old man. But I quickly shone the torch across the tree line, fast enough to catch him if he tried to run away. But there was nothing. So I dragged the light along the bank slowly, scanning carefully for any signs of movement. Every sound I heard was him screwing with me, and I shook a little. Then, as my grip steadied a little, I saw it. A cluster of dead vines, or a tree maybe, half slumped, half wrapped around the base of a big old conifer. Wait, C-O-N-I-F-E-R. How do I say that?
Conifer.
Conifer. For whatever reason, I couldn't help but focus on it. Something about it seeming distinctly out of place. I remember I had had a long time to get to know the panorama of the swamp, but something uncertain struck me about this white clump. Then, in one horrible movement, it pulled back and went behind the tree. For a moment, I could do nothing, paralyzed by fear, when the silence was broken by a loud series of creaking and cracking sounds. Then I knew something large was moving through the bush. Wasting no time, I bolted indoors, and you can imagine the sleepless night I spent there. Damn near pissing myself every time I heard a nail or the house creak. The smell of those barnacles that permeated the house. The smell alone like sulfur could have kept me up. Tapping from my room resonated into the living room where I huddled on the floor like a paranoiac. Somehow the crane flies were getting in, and now and again, one would land near me and I'd have to crush it. I remember hearing a sort of clicking sound and looking up to see my ceiling coated in the things. As I looked at their black massive bodies, the tapping seemed to register my pulse, getting louder and faster. I was sweating profusely, scared to look at the windows, trying to ignore the heat and the bugs and the tapping, until it was too much and I switched on the television, an old set that still had rabbit ears, and picked up barely the glitchiest signal, but at least it drowned out the tapping. The screen just showed static in the vaguest forms of what looked like an infomercial or something, but the sound quality was perfect, and I heard, within seconds, switching it on. Annual scholarship grant has been awarded to Anon Anonymous, who will be doing field work up in Arnhem. Congratulations, Anon. The words just registered dimly, and I couldn't believe what I was hearing it anymore. So I just left the set on, and the sound worked for a couple more names before giving out and giving way to a soft static, which I turned up to full volume. The tapping noted this and got louder, beating like a metronome. At this stage, I was almost laughing. I felt a bit delirious and couldn't get a grasp on if this was really happening or not. Then a different sound beat down on the corridor, hard, loud knock at the front door. I waited in terrified stillness. There came another knock, and then a voice. "Hey, Anon, you home?" The voice was familiar, my friends from the town. I'd forgotten they were coming over on the weekend. "Hey, Anon, we're meant to be hanging out, remember?" Why was he over at 3 a.m.? "Come on, man. I can see you through the window." I looked up at the big windows, but could see the dark night outside. Maybe I could see some vague thing? My friend waving? Or just trees brushing against each other, or bugs at the window. It was impossible to tell. The thought of letting another person in made me realize the state I was in. The number of bugs on the walls and the ceiling and that god-awful smell. I shouted out that I was gonna let them just be a minute. No response. As I scaled the corridor, I noted I couldn't hear the tapping anymore. I flicked on the outdoor light, but couldn't make out a thing through the through the dappled glass window on the door. I took the handle and cranked open the big front door, then looked out onto an empty deck in the barren front section. I called out if he was out there or not. Then, from behind me, I hear the reply. "The other door, Anon." What the F, I think. We definitely heard him calling out from the front. But at this stage, I can't be sure in my own senses anymore. So I just call out that he shouldn't be a lazy idiot and should just come around the front. A long pause as I stand at the open door. Come on, Anon. Don't be lazy. Come around and open the door. At this stage, I feel barely awake, hardly registering my steps as I move back down a corridor. As I neared the side of the house where I scraped off all the barnacles, the rank smell increases steadily, and I approach the back door and look through the window to see if there's anyone there. For a moment, I see nothing, just the bare swamp on all sides. Then I turn to look on the side onto the side of the door, and I see looking back at me a face so horrible I don't even like to think of it today. The only thing I can compare it to is pick related. I scream and fall back, and it bolts it. The shock left me dizzy, and I thought I would vomit. The smell of reeling together, whatever sanity I had left, I knew I had to board up the windows, lock the door, and wear out the night. As I regained my senses, I had to hold onto the wall, grab onto things to pull myself up onto two legs. Once I did, I was still wobbling on my ankles, like seasickness, when I heard the unmistakable scatter of pots across the kitchen floor. I turned and realized I'd left the front door wide open. This is spick related. That guy had all the things.
Spick related.
Chick related.
Yo, 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 let me use the freaking lab table, boy. Let me check out the pick, the spick related. That is, makes me go,
Feel good about that? Put it on screen.
Wee.
The other guy on EP38 archive, is that the Brazilian co-creator? The Brazilian co-creator? Such a cool name. You talking about me? EP38 of what?
Of South Shore Wave Telecoms?
I think so.
I'm just gonna momentarily put this here. I hope you guys like it. Everyone's just having their own conversation in the chat. That's cool.
Fridays with PewDiePie, and I learned he hated embarrassment. Yeah, Fridays with PewDiePie, I used to watch those, wow. Anyway, this is the first part of The Old Man in the Bog. I'll begin the second one right now. This is cool. You guys liking the background voice reading? Is it enjoyable? Is it like one of those YouTube videos that are like 30 minutes long of a guy reading? Is it like Nightmind? Are you guys enjoying it? Alright.
I have to reach 75 in Illusion to get invisibility? But it's like based in Red Pill though, right?
I just came here, so I'm confused to what's even happening. Well, you live in Norway.
Are there any other cool spells? Destruction is so hard to level. I'm like,
The Iliad or maybe the Aeneid. I'm considering reading Lovecraft live. I think that would be cool. But the story doesn't seem very good. Yeah, it's a very long one. I do want to finish it though. Any of you guys in a Lovecraft? Any stories to suggest?
Uh-oh, I accidentally stole.
Beater. Did you read Mein Kampf 2? It's a good joke. I wrote it. Yeah, we all thought of that joke. Carthaginian. I've been thinking about getting Lovecraft books, but I haven't read any before. It's 2:37 a.m. and I've become an insomniac recently, so I'm reading past the time.
Ooh, Bruh. Alright, well.
Making potions in Skyrim. Bruh.
You know, there's a mod I really like in New Vegas. I don't know if the person made it for Skyrim, but it makes it so that every time you press B, it plays the bruh sound effect. So you just spam it every time you die, and it's amazing. It lights up your life forever.
Your death, rather.
Yes. Lights up your death.
Alright. Once I'm done with the story... Okay. You guys suggest what I'm gonna read next. I don't know if I should read a... If any of you have, like, a particularly good green text... Or if you want to read, want me to read a Lovecraft story, just suggest it and I'll get to it. I really like what I heard one in audiobook form. It was like a nautical looking Negro was a part of it. I thought it was funny. Lovecraft had a way with that sort of thing.
Guys, what perk should I get? What is this? Don't care about that.
Swim, get rid of DLive 861.
Oh, alteration. Yeah, this is cool.
I'm glad Swim is here.
Gotta get, like, stronger. I need to buy Rally.
Teletubbies fan fiction? I'd rather do a whole bunch of things before I do that.
Yep.
Pygmy by look, I read the carrot one by Palahniuk. I'm really queasy about that. I'm not sure. Pygmy, what is it about? 13. Oh man, this guy's screwy. He sodomizes a bully who had been victimizing his host's brother. The scene is described in graphic detail. This is only the first of many acts committed by the operative in order to adjust to American life while preparing with his fellow operatives. Agent number 67. Oh. Terrorist attack.
Bruh, is anyone else here? Nope. Alright.
Okay, he raped a dude.
Well, you're the only woman here, so I guess it's time to rape.
Oh, man. Not into this stuff. Fight Club is great. That's about it from Palahniuk. The one-way trip to hell? Don't read it? Yeah, I won't.
I need to go to...
Get the... Salty. There's an ant. Read Lovecraft, but I don't know any specific stories? Yeah, I don't know either. I'd have to go... I don't know. But I have to go old school and just, you know, get on, the Call of Cthulhu. You can read... It's not like movies, right? There's no, like... There's no copyright if you read a book out loud. That's not a problem.
I right? don't think so.
Because I think when you read it, it's like fair use, because you're turning it into an audiobook yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's okay then. When we get back on Twitch, I'm going to do that. Probably going to do that more often. It's fun. The Canterbury Tales? I've read The Ghost of Canterbury when I was like a child. I don't remember anything but that the phantom kept, like, putting a blood stain on the floor again and again. And then somebody talked to him and he was like a dude. Like a lame, pathetic dude. Oh, yeah. You joined the Solitude on the thing?
What?
On Skyrim? You joined Solitude? You joined the Legion?
No! Okay. I'm just insulted. I'm going to the palace so I can cast the spell and level up illusion fast. Trying to get.
Are you a Stormcloak?
I'm gonna be.
You're a Nazi.
What am I supposed to go with a bunch of gay elves?
Exactly.
No way that's happening. Even though I'm literally a cat and not a white person, I'm a black person. But who cares? Ha 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 ha. Oh shoot. Yeah, I'm not supposed to do that. Oh frick. I forgot you can't go up there while they're doing the execution.
Oh frick.
Let's try this again.
Reddit r no sleep does DMCA takedowns on videos of people reading the stuff, so I'm sure they're not getting ones. Oh man. Reddit is so fucking gay. You can't read their stuff? Dude, I'm reading from 4chan though, so that's fine. 4chan doesn't believe in it, it's anonymous. It's, whatever, we are one, we do not forgive, whatever that stuff was about.
Yo. Big round of applause, Huh? What? Why? What's the problem? I'm not allowed to cast this spell? This is racial discrimination.
All works of H.P. Lovecraft became public domain in 2008, so read away. Okay. I'll finish reading the one I'll for. The heaviness of the heat in the air seems to sink into my pores and I'm weighed into the corner against the back door. The chills that ran down my body were palpable. Couldn't have made a sound if I wanted to. I was entirely fixed on stilling myself and listening with an almost morphine clarity. The adrenaline, I guess. Then again, the clash of disturbed cutlery and a slow wheeze, and a slow wheeze like a choked inhale.
It happened again. Why?
When it was silent and still, I could barely contain body shivers. My mind wasn't processing a thing, but for any noise from the kitchen, I registered the cold impression of the door handle in my palm, but wouldn't dare turn it if it creaked. Then a soft crunch, like of skin pressing on the floor. I saw something white breaching into the corridor, and again, the low wheeze. Leisurely, the small round eyes swiveled around and looked right at me. The wheeze became louder. I bolted it through the door, a flash of white through the windows, running for the open door. I burst forward blindly and ran, not knowing which direction or where. I couldn't afford to care that I was heading straight into the swamp. The idea of turning back for the car or going around the house was, once I started running, a debunked option. It didn't even occur to me. The feeling of mud permeating and squelching in your shoes and the knowledge of it caking there and making every step painfully loud. More than once my foot caught a tough root and I fell ass over tit. I was supposed to not say it. Reading is confusing.
Yes.
But again, I just couldn't afford to recognize it and just got back up every time. There was no visibility even by the time my eyes could have adjusted to the light. Any moonlight was totally obscured by the overcrowded canopy. Bayou. What's you eating? Reanimator? No, just the green tech. As I ran, there were no sounds, but by the time my body had run past its limit and I was drunkenly heaving through the trees, sweating, I heard a lot of bug noise in the water, and occasionally snippets of bird wings chasing off nearby, and weird croaks. Frantically, I tried to pick out that awful wheeze, but I couldn't focus on this for any extended period, because doing so seemed to make the experience into a practical reality instead of a fever dream, as I could only bring myself to process it as. There came a time when I wasn't even moving at speed. Was a sweated out mess, borderline unconscious and soaked in mud. There was no sign by which to gauge where I was, only the huge figures of the trees around and the lumpen masses of the swamp. My knees started slipping under me and I heard a splash that silenced all the bugs as I slumped into the water, my entire body succumbing to that pins and needles numbness all at once. Face half buried under the waterline, I only jerked my head up with difficulty and the brackish water smelled richly of that sulfurous reek. For a long time, I lay there in a small pool to myself, my skin sensing nothing around it. Gradually, the bug noise returned on the water surface, and it seemed like I could hear the distinct clicks and water pops of each one. Nothing of the light nor sound changed. If there was a moon, it was lost under layers on layers of branches and clouds. It was impossible to tell how much time had passed. I couldn't even guess how long it had been till this weird noise emerged, slowly from somewhere to the east of me. Immediately, I knew it was no animal or forest sound because it was the sound of television static. The bug life went quiet, and even the sound of the water and the canopy seemed to die out as a thick, white noise spread out and neared. It took all my strength to muster just one arm. There was now the quiet splish splash of feet in the water, growing louder, outstretching the arm. It felt like every sinew in my shoulder would snap. My fingers gripped the first thing they found, and I sensed my body being pulled forward. Somehow, mud-covered, shivering like all hell, and every joint burning, I slumped into the upturned husk of a log, and out of the bare scraps of energy left in me, pulled myself fully into the dark tube. This muffled the dim splish-splash of footfall. There, I sort of fell limp like a rag doll, unable to exert any more. Somewhere nearby, I heard a faint inhale. Now I couldn't control my breathing or stillness. I could see nothing but a crescent slither of the log opening near my feet. The inside of the log was very cold and clingy, but my discomfort meant nothing as I strained out onto the little crescent slit of visibility. For a moment, it was blotted out by something big and white. The sound of static was overwhelming, as if a television had been dumped in a bog. But then the thing was gone, and in time the noise faded, and in time the bug noise picked back up. I don't know when I passed out. My clothes were wrapped on my bones and had dried there. This was the same for the mud in my shoes. For a moment, I thought I was paralyzed. Then an inch of crushed log under me gave away. I realized I was half fossilized into the muck. My eyes were so encrusted with dirt and gunk that at first they wouldn't open, and there was a dull stinging as I peeled my eyelashes apart. In the full light of the sun burned through, overwhelming my senses. It took me a little while to realize I was awake and where I was. The compost odor of the log's interior and the brushing sense of things moving around under me and certain wet objects winding slowly through my hair alerted me to that. The feeling of worms feeling across my scalp, curling at the roots of hairs, should have made me want to curl my hair out. There was no way to think about this which made sense to me anymore. I wanted only to pull myself out of the husk and back to the house. I knew I had to pack my things and not return. There was no recovering from this. Yet at some level, I knew how truly lost I was already and how hot the day was and how parched my throat and mouth. My retinas were burned, ragged with heat and too little sleep. As I lifted myself up, bending my knees and dragging my body out bottom first, I noticed something different under my arm, a distinct lack of feeling in my armpit. As I peeled myself out into the shallow pool of last night, shedding spiders and worms falling out of my hair, I examined myself. There were a lot of cuts on the arm, and the mud was scratched off. But then I lifted the arm up, and this time there could be no calm. And I screamed aloud, again and again and again, when I saw the whole of my armpit overfilled with a great hardened cluster of barnacles. I screamed so much I was dry heaving and fell onto my knees in the water. Wow, this is really unsettling. This is getting good. In a moment of panic distraction, I forced myself to notice how the pool reflected the blue of the sky exactly. Without the blackened trees, the scene would appear like two intersecting planes of sky and grass. But the feeling of all of those thousands of little shells forming piles in my pit and the little islands of them that filed down my arm and in the dips of my ribs. Concentrating myself, improvising a gross curiosity, I took my hand to the rock-like outer surface of the main lump. And gritted my teeth as my nails scraped down, catching on some gaps and then prying as hard as I could. There was a loud crunch and a lightning bolt of pain struck my side, causing to reel over once more. A crack had appeared in the lump, under which was the pinky head of the inner goop. But I couldn't shake the awful source of that pain, the feeling of their thin little roots pulling and popping in my skin. Finally, I vomited. The numbness of it was now overcome by a hyper awareness of all the little spread out in my meat. It took my all just to push past the sensation to find a rock. With the rock firmly in hand and sweating hard, I brought it down once, twice, and again on the mass. Each time it cracked and popped, but the pain worsened, and the throbbing horrible awareness of all those roots only increased, like they were clinging harder in there. Somewhere through the trees, the smell of smoke, and I'm moving towards it full speed, delirious. There's the whisper of a crackling fire, and all I can do is follow, desperate. The emerald light of flames burned through the air, and the rich smell was so reassuring that for a moment I forgot about the horrible things in my body. I stumble out of the conifers into a small clearing, which looked like a drained patch of bog, where could be seen a crude sort of timber hut, looking hastily assembled from a few small trunks, offering little cover. The fire was burning only a few meters off, unshielded from a pile of dry twigs and leaves, to no regard to the hut. Then my eyes were drawn to the outer rim of the clearing, marking its boundaries against the water, where had been erected several sharpened pikes, each adorned with the black faces of rotting animals. They mostly seemed to be dogs or possums, but it was impossible to tell the degree to which most had rotted away. The sight of these things, intermittently swamped by the smoke, was something to behold. "Who is it?" came a voice, and it occurred to me that a figure was moving somewhere inside the wall of smoke. "Please," I blurted, hardly coherent. "I'm sick. I need help." The figure was still a while and moved forward, unshrouded by the blackness. I recognized immediately by the bushman's old young face, at first unsmiling, squinting, then beaming, alert and wide-eyed on seeing me, as if to say, "I'm so glad you could make it." Here, my memory falters. I know I collapsed a few times, maybe fainted because the guy told me so. To this day, I can't remember how he got into this hut, where I was splayed on an unstable stretcher bed and told to be still where he got something. The next thing I know, his dry old fingers are pressing something in my mouth, pills, and I swallow automatically. Then, while his fingers are there, he starts to wriggle them about. It tastes horribly, and starts hooting with laughter. Then a drink, bottle, nozzle, a drink of water to wash him down. I asked what it was, and he busied himself with something in a bag for what seemed like minutes before announcing Tramadol. As the painkillers took effect, I drifted in and out of sleep, when once or twice I woke, I was to see the man crouch at my side, working hard on the armpit, and a dull scraping noise, but no feeling whatsoever. At his side, I caught sight of the ugliest looking dog I'd ever seen in my life. It looked like it had crawled, full formed out of the swamp matter, its body either wet or hairless, looking like black mats of folded leather. There was a loud noise of blunt objects grinding against each other, sick, bucking sound, and then a slow, slow schlup of the length of the roots being dragged out. Some snapping halfway out, where they dangled limp from bloody little holes in their mouth. The sight made me nauseous, and I looked at the dog, its grisly mouth unfolding in a friendly smile as he dropped the bolt in his hand into a bucket, where it hit with the soft, hard, wet sound of a hammer and on a bunch of eggs wrapped in a wet towel. Promptly tail wagging, the dog dipped its snout into the bucket, emerging seconds later, panting here, with the limp-threaded mass in its jaws, its thick saliva running with the blood. As it crunched it up, and in painful-looking gulps, began to down it. As it did, I noticed how its gums were crowded with little, dried-out, whole scars. I passed out. I came to sometime later that day. The shadows were slanted at a new angle, making deeper shades. It seemed to be late afternoon. The day was still boiling, but a strip of gray clouds hung in the otherwise abandoned sky. A constant stream of wetness poured out of my bare chest and arms, and I could feel it pulling underneath me. Running, I moved on to the one arm and nervously looked at the end results. There was a lot of blood and dirt, and no bandages. There also was a series of small black holes cramped in my flesh under the arm. The hair, it seemed, had been uprooted with the stuff, each leaking a little stream of blood, baked into a light crust in the heat. A couple still had small roots hanging out them. Teeth gritted, I pulled out these last remaining ones, all too sensitive to the feeling of their wet length peeled out, and the cold of the air on the nerve ending, and exposed meat in the newly excavated hole. As I leaned on the arm to sit up, I felt the ungodly sensation of all the holes stretching open and taking in a collective gasp of cool air. Wow! But the fever seemed to be fading somewhat. I wanted to thank the man. He was nowhere to be seen, and I was too weak to call for him. But I saw that the prehistoric-looking dog was still at my side, panting happily. I put my hand down and rubbed the side of its face. Then when it moved closer, I patted it slowly. It panted and salivated. The shadows grew longer, and I managed to put both feet at the bed, leaning at the waist pat the dog, which was loving it. It was the closest I'd had to a normal experience in so long, that this simple activity felt like the greatest comfort in the world. Then the man stooped in, grinning madly, and asked how I was doing. I told him good and thanked him profusely. As with the previous time, he seemed to zone out, wanting to say his piece. Unceremoniously, he thrust me a plate of ill-smelling meat chunks as if to shut me up. I was, and am, to this day, a vegetarian. Yet that rancid meat will probably always stand out in my mind as one of the best meals of my life. Wow, this is good. I like this part. Glad I found you, he said, more than once. He spoke in the same hurried pace as last time, if not more. He seemed to not want to discuss my health or how he removed the barnacle, opting instead to give me a long spiel on the war gulfs. However, as he went on, it was clear he considered the barnacles just an extension of the whirlwind phenomenon, some kind of tactic they used or form they took. But it wasn't even that clearly defined. He connected patterns with all the enthusiasm of a conspiracy theorist, all the time chucking his dog little chunks of his plate, eating none himself. Somewhere in the distance, a series of whoop sounds hollered. My ragged nerves demanded I jarringly stick out my head in that direction. The old guy just went on talking. I observed that the sky was quickly becoming more overcast. They were getting trickier, he said, but the end was so near. I asked how far I was to town. He didn't hear or care, and gave me a stern look as he said he knew he was close now. He found pictures of her, he said, and his eyes lit up. He pulled two mud cake volumes from his bag, and with practice flipping, opened them both to the pages he wanted to show me. I examined them. One was an old etching or photograph. It was hard to tell. The other, a woman's weekly magazine from a few years ago. In each, he had drawn a hard circle around a face in the background. In both, a woman, though clearly not the same person. But I nodded regardless and said, "This is your wife?" Now he stood up, his plate crashing onto the floor. "How did you know that, eh?" he yelled. The dog released a low whine, recognizing the change in atmosphere. Now the sky was pocked with light patches. Drizzle was beginning to fall. Improvising out of fear, I said that he'd told me all about it at my house the other day, and repeated what I'd heard from my friend in town, but as if I wholeheartedly believed it. As he listened, he seemed confused, then weakened, almost apologetic, and sat back down, picking up the plate and continuing to feed the dog half-heartedly. "Yeah, I did. Didn't I?" he mumbled, convincing himself as he spoke. I realized he did not know how many days had passed since we'd met, and struggled to bring the memory to clear focus, his face a picture of frustration. Then a light moved across his face, and he was back to the big smiles and frantic speech. "They had her in a glass vault," he said, "in the middle of a carving out in a dry patch of woods. They used rituals, didn't play by our rules, quote unquote. They were, as he said, disgusting, so disgusting." As he said this, he threw pieces of meat into the dog's mouth faster and faster. "At first, I thought she was just getting old, seeing things," he said. "But then we found footprints heading to the house, and then leading back. That's when I knew they were coming for her. And now they want me, They want to draw me out, lure me with these pictures. He produced more magazines, with almost every page showing a circled woman's face. He went on and on about how they disgusted him, about how the only way to get her back was to play their game, however long it took. But he kept returning to disgust, how much they disgusted him. The rain beat harder and harder, dripping through the white spaces in the roof of the hut. And it seemed to push him deeper into the spiral he was on, talking about his disgust. Once he had said he couldn't shake it, and seemed to be unable to contain his disgust. Then he grabbed the dog's snout hard and yanked its head first towards me. "See that?" he shouted over the rain, thrusting the whining dog forward. "See what they do?" Forcibly, impervious to its attempts to wriggle away, he pulled its lips up and pointed out the hole-ridden gums. "See?" he screamed, more worked up than ever. The rain was splashing through quite strong now. His eyes were furious. He seemed not to notice that as the dog cried and dug its claws into his hands, hard enough to draw blood. He had gripped its top and bottom lips hard, and it was screaming more and more, as if to drown out its cries. "See what they do?" as he pulled the top and bottom jaws wide open. "No," I said weakly, as there was a little crack, and the dog gave a long howl of pain and began wriggling harder and faster, batting its master's hands incessantly for him to stop, but he only pulled harder. "How disgusting it is." Even as I limply raised an arm to protest, a line of blood was forming at the sides of the dog's mouth, its big wet eyes filled with pain as the edges of its mouth ripped and split further and further. It was going nuts now, howling for its life, striking over and over. But he lifted it off the ground, and with a face of furious effort, slowly wrenched the jaws apart until suddenly they snapped fully apart, spread out broken, revealing its raw, gagging throat, slick with blood, which released an unearthly, gargling moan. "Gee." With that, he dropped it to the floor, but the poor thing wouldn't stop making that noise and thrashing, beating its skull against the hard floor over and over with bloody thumps, splintering the jaws even further, until finally he must have given up, because it lay there moaning softly, its little chest raising and lowering with pain breaths. Wasting no time to collect himself, he picked up an already sharpened pike, and in what seemed like one movement had picked up the dog and dragged its entire body through the pike, so only the tip announced itself above the split jaws. I wanted so badly to believe that it was dead, but as I looked, I saw one wet eye flick down to meet mine, and I had to look away. As if reading my mind, he said, with a gradual return to his vaguely sad confusion, "They have to be alive for the rituals." He shuffled out of the hut, bearing the pike on his back. I knew I had to escape, but the rain was only getting worse. So I went out foolishly to observe his efforts in clearing the ground and drilling the bait pike into the ground, establishing one more totem. But I noticed a sense of something about him. He let go of the pike, and rain running through his scruff beard, stared out into the forest. I followed his gaze, past lines of conifers and the overlapping walls of mist, just in time to see it. A huge old pine, bending at the middle, shaking slightly, move, almost bounced back into place, shedding a coat of water into the air. Then the tops of the trees, huge trees, rustled with the movement of something pushing them apart. As we stood under the fresh pike, there was a roll of thunder from the woods. Not thunder, a higher noise, like metal plates ground against one another, followed by a set of huge impending thuds that sent vibrations up my legs. Under the noise of the rain, I was aware of the sound of thick static and started backing into the hut. The old man stayed out in the mud and the rain and shouting things. Couldn't hear. There was another deafening groan and a dark shape brushed through the highest tops of the trees momentarily. The old guy was at the wall now, picking something up, a rifle. There was a click and then immediately he fired. "Come on," he was screaming, "come on." There was another shot and another. The tectonic groans came more and more, and the trees were being bent and pushed by something massive behind them. And the old man screaming at them in the rain to show themselves. "Where is she?" he screamed, face red and wet and saliva streaming from his scarred mouth as he hollered, releasing a volley of shots in all directions. I moved to the edge of the door, slipping behind him in the frothing mud, all the while keeping my eyes on the forest line, transfixed in a sort of horrible wonder by the huge things in the pines. Where is she? What have you done with her? Through his screams, I could hear the wavering of the wavering vibrato of tears. Then I saw it, if only for a second. This enormous black shape moving back behind the trees, then a long tree-like limb stretching out and wobbling forward, testing the air like a fever. The static sound and the sulfur smell were richer than ever now. The air felt electric. And now two more stood in full height and were taking ground-shaking strides towards the hut. One snapped its lump of what I suppose was a head right around, and I caught sight of two white eyes. Too much for me, I turned and fled. I stumbled in the rain and cracked my bad ribs. Pulling myself up, I hobbled off as fast as possible, hardly able to see through the rain, as volleys of faraway bullets exploded against the deep tectonic scraping of the huge things. And over top of it all, the man's wild voice screaming its lungs out. Where is she? Where is she? I ran for I don't know how long, splashing face down in every other rivulet. Getting mangled by every other thorny bush, the landscape was totally changed in the rain, overflowing with little waterfalls and the nervous swaying off old trees in the wind. The commotion was overwhelming, and as I crashed my way through the dense bush, I became alerted to some calls coming from not far off. It was my name and my friend's voice. Screw this, I thought, and turned to run in the opposite direction, foot snagging on a collapsed branch. I yanked desperately at it, the voice getting closer and closer until I finally broke apart and I sprinted forward, directly into the thing. I screamed as its arms thrusted out of the trees and grabbed me by the shoulders and tried wildly to escape, until I was looking at the terrified, confused face of my friend from the town and his two buddies trailing not far behind. I will keep the rest of this brief. Needless to say, I refused to return to the house, so I was driven by my friends back to one of theirs. They reckoned I was suffering from exposure and got me a change of clothes and things. I was either unable or unwilling to tell my story in full. To this day, I remain quite unwilling for obvious reasons. I only showed them the holes in my armpit and the parts about the mad bushman. I deliberately excised everything else, back in the comfort of a lit, warm room, with a storm rattling the windows outside as if taking place somewhere far away. I no longer trusted my own experience and fell into a sort of waking, lucid dream state. Not quite conscious and rational, but nonetheless aware of the impossibility of my own experience. But how had they found me, I asked. They exchanged odd, worried glances, then I was told the story. We went to yours at the arranged time. When we got there, we saw all the windows and doors were locked, even though it was sweltering. So we knocked at the door, no reply. We figured you had just gone for a walk or something, so sat on the front porch, smoking durries, and cracked a few beers. A full hour had passed, and we decided to get up and go. Right as we did so, though, here he paused, obviously uncertain about how to retell this next part. Well, someone shouted out from inside the house, saying you weren't home. I was awash with full-fledged body shivers as he said those words. Well, we thought, what is happening? Seeing as we'd been there for an hour, and only now this guy decides to speak up. So we ask who it is. No reply. So we knock again, and this voice, coming from directly behind the door, says that you've gone into the swamp. We keep asking questions, asking to be let in, knocking at the door, but got no more responses. At first, we thought, well, you know, that it was just you pulling a prank. But as the rain came in, figured we ought to at least check, just in case. I let this information sink in, then I asked, why did they think it was me pulling a prank? Why would I do that? Now the mood got really awkward and many more glances were exchanged. Well, said my friend slowly, looking right into my eyes. Well, the thing is, it was your voice. The next few days were spent recuperating. My friend said they would pull me up. They would put me up until I had found a different place. But it was clear now I couldn't continue there. I was no longer myself, didn't act the same, seemed rattled out of my own persona. And I knew the popular consensus was that I had gone mad. I got looks in the street, and I didn't blame them. When I resigned from the teaching position, it seemed a relief to the other staff. I guess word of my descent into madness spread fast. Only my friends who heard for themselves that unexplainable voice believed me. They were good to me in the following days. Returning to the house, I was never to go back and collect my stuff. 3 weeks later, I was driving back home to a family who cried a lot and kept saying I would get better, more for their own sake than mine. But I did get better, in time. I kept in touch with the friends I made there and completed my thesis on the back of the short experience I had. I won't bore anyone with with the details of my reintegration period, except to say that it was hard and ongoing. There is only one more thing to add. It happened as the place was being emptied of my stuff. One of those people who helped was a schoolteacher who had been so kind to me, and like the blokes who found me out in the woods didn't treat me like a nutter. She said it almost in passing for some reason, though I am certain she was aware of its full meaning. She said, "You know, it's no wonder you came across the old swamp bloke. That place you were staying at was the old house he and his wife used to live." And the green text ends here. 4 people watching, yes.
Nice. Class. Nah, it's 31 people.
Oh, is it? Wait, it's displaying 4 for me.
Smoking.
No, I think I'm right. Refresh. I mean, open in the new tab.
Okay. Yeah, I did. It's still at 31 for me.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Ah, man, I was like triumphant.
Yeah, I don't think it's 4.
It says 31 for you guys?
No. You okay. Refresh.
I was kind of hoping that it was 4. Yeah, I'm just getting 4. I like 4. 4 is a good number. Wow. You guys want to keep going? I don't know. I really can't. I can't sleep.
I'm pretty into the Skyrim right now, so. People are enjoying.
Yes? Okay, cool. People are enjoying themselves. This is all we can ask for.
I'll try to focus this time on what you're saying, because I'm really bad at multitasking, so I just get absorbed in the game. Barnacles are crazy little N-words. Oh, my game crashed. Epic.
Did I read too quick?
Where's the face cam?
What did I do? No face cam.
Yeah, no face cam. It doesn't look very good with the game. I got some nice screenshots of me raping.
I'll do a poll here. You guys think I read too fast? Should I read slower? Are you fine? Okay.
Take a bathroom break and probably get a snack and I'll be back.
Yeah, I probably should do the same.
We'll have like a little intermission. I'll leave the creepy picture up there.
Wait, I have a song to play.
Oh.
In the intermission. Here. Call the intermission.
Okay. And we'll take our break.
Put the picture back up. Right, be right back.
Alrighty, I have returned from the belly of the beast. Okay, so alright. Let me get back to the normal music. Hello, travelers. Thank you. launching up Skyrim again. Eating pretzels. 10 p.m. You know how it is. Leveling up my skills, I should probably actually do something.
Hello.
Hello. Epic. Think about starting up Brotherhood of Steel.
All right.
Oh no, wait. Sorry. Dark Brotherhood. Wrong game.
Yeah. I thought about it like... What? I'm gonna start another game.
Yeah, I gotta go to Windhelm, and I gotta go talk to the, like, homicidal incel boy.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
It's funny. The one all-nighter I seem like I'm actually gonna pull is one that Faith didn't beg me to do.
Yeah, I was unwilling. Is there no carriage here? Is that what's up? I'm forced to. Okay. I cannot see anything. I guess it's realistic.
Is this stream recorded?
Yep.
Awesome. Climbing back and we'll be off.
This is taking me back to my humble beginnings as a Let's Player of Skyrim. Amazing. Yep. Aventino? Aventus Aventino? Or Arentino? Ah!
Mm-hmm.
I like this place. It's pretty smexy looking.
For a Nazi.
A place is a Nazi?
Yes.
Oh yeah, because... Is that a meme or something? Stormcloaks are Nazis? Oh yeah, because they're like proud of being
white. Mm-hmm. Totally. And elves are totally Jews.
Yes. Like, it reminds me of the there in this mod, quest mod I have. The way they treat Talos. It's so Jewy. Mm-hmm. It literally is like... The Jews persecuting Jesus. Immediately, I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Where's his house again? It's up here. Pooping. Peeing? Possibly? Right.
Pooping, peeing? Yeah, every medieval thing kind of has like that tone of, underlying tone of, yeah. Truth. Yeah, Tolkien's full of it. Anti-Semitism, racism, you name it.
Sounds like my kind of author.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right, you get to kill... I can't remember if that's a mission or if you just do that yourself. Kill the old hag at the orphanage? See if we can sneak up on him. Let me try to cast invisibility. And he detects me immediately. That is, like, crazy. How can you... Oh. Hello, Aventus. You busy? Got the human meat? Okay. Oh, nope.
Oh, so your character is like a sneaker.
I'm a mage, but I got some illusion spells that make me, like, good at sneaking, so I figured I'll do this. Epic. Let's go kill the old lady. Now I feel stupid, because it's literally the first quest. Gotta go to Rip, dude.
Just joined. Sorry for lateness. What's a boigus?
What's a boigus with you?
You gotta ask it? You don't know.
Yeah, no poop.
I just stated the obvious. You gotta ask it. Beat it, kid.
Anybody know how to make the playback less laggy? Because my gameplay is 60 FPS, but the OBS lags.
I'm watching it right now, and it's pretty smooth.
All
right.
Maybe it is me.
Why me?
This is Bretzel ASMR. Playing Skyrim, Bretzel ASMR. Oh yeah. Stinky N-words.
Okay. Guys, can we do a vote? Should I...
Let's see.
Sorry. Should I, read another X green text, or should I read Dagon by H.P. Lovecraft?
No, let me do. This is amazing. This is way too OP. Can I literally pick back at the key from him? I mean, not that I would. I can. I fail because I'm not good at pickpocketing, but. Alright, what's up, yo?
Okay. But am I locked in? No. Okay, wait. Yeah, just say Dagon or green text.
What's it to you? Don't say something you regret. Oh! Don't care. Bye.
The guy's name is Mole? Play the digging audio. No, but I want to read. I don't want to listen to nothing.
Ah, glitching out. Glitching out.
Your field of view is like cuckoo banana next one.
Yeah. I'm used to it. I'll go back to normal. Or somewhat normal.
No, my god, man. That arm is freaking me
out.
The
regular FOV is just too unbearable. I think it's 70. Imagine playing like this. You cannot see anything.
I usually play FOV 90, I was about to say.
Sometimes I go to 100 if I'm feeling like a real freak.
A real freak.
Alright, I'll just kill her straight up. There's no need to mess around. Boy. Nobody can see me. Better not be able to see me. I need something to attack with.
Gandalf the Grey. Is it funny that when Gandalf becomes better, he becomes white?
One hit! Oh man! That was amazing.
Oh no.
The pig children. Why ain't that quaint? You're welcome. Constance, you alright? You doing good? Can I give you some courage? Yo, stay still. I'm about to... I said stay still. Oh my gosh. Is this my fault or yours? Still running away. Her fear is just too great.
Anti-Semitism on the web. 4chan poll. Oh, let me check that out.
Ah.
There's like Wikipedia pages for Moon Man, Pepe the Frog, QAnon, and Gamergate. And R the Donald, and It's Okay to Be White. Dude, what?
Yeah, Wikipedia's gay.
A quantitative analysis on the poll is an important influencer of news content on Twitter. With the board contributing 3% of mainstream news links and 1.96% of alternative. This is retarded small numbers. Shut up. Retard. Oh my god.
Awesome. Let me go sleep and get kidnapped. Let me go sleep and get kidnapped by this broad.
Okay, you can just kill her, you know that, right?
What?
You can just kill her and then kill the entirety of the Dark Brotherhood.
I never did that before. I don't know if... Is that cool?
Yeah, they're like pieces of crap.
Really?
Yeah, aren't they? Aren't they like hitmen?
I mean, yeah. I don't know if I'm powerful enough to, you know.
Do it anyway. Who cares? You'll figure it out. When you're really weak in video games, and you have to kill some really strong enemies, you start doing like the shimmy shimmy ya on them. Like in Dark Souls 3, where you can just shoot arrows at the dragon's tail from a vantage point, without surfing a single hit. Like, there's a dragon boss.
I played with them so many times, man. Yeah, because I resolved not to steal on this playthrough.
So why not kill some assassins?
Yeah. And, also, like, oh yeah, I remember, like, doing that in Fallout and Skyrim similarly, like, use pillars in the cave to just, like, start running in circles so I could, like, score a hit and run away.
Oh, wait, I want a room! Give me a room!
That's how I survived in Fallout 2 when I was killing golden geckos in the beginning of the game. I just shoot and then walk.
You need to get a house. That would be, like, cool.
RIP headphone users? Why? Something loud?
Bruh. Oh shoot, it's happening. I'm getting raped. Bruh. I'm getting raped by a floating arm! Bruh. Maybe she's just hanging on the ceiling, right? Or is that my own arm? Oh, wait! That was my own arm. I was getting raped by my own arm.
Yeah, why is your arm floating again? Is that how you sleep?
No.
Your head dunks off to the left while your arms stay in the same position.
You know about that?
Try not to defecate and fartate in your own mouth, Sophia.
What?
I don't know, man. 3 a.m. I can't really think anymore. You know one cool way to play Skyrim? No fast travel.
That is not cool. That reminds me of playing Morrowind, and that was, like, kind of nightmarish.
Yeah, exactly. It's really cool, because then you have to, like, get every quest in town, do everything you can, and when you're gonna go, like, you gotta prepare to, like, do everything again. It's not, like, cheap to
go. Do I say yes to her? Is that what happened? Is that how I kill her? Or do I... What do I gotta do?
I'll have no part of this insanity, I think. Then instant combat ensues, I believe.
No, that is a shame. You involved yourself in this insanity when you said, maybe so. Maybe so. She was a bad woman.
You don't leave this. But she was a bad woman.
Dies. Yeah, whatever. I'm not killing any of these.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm gonna kill you. Boy.
Man, why do you keep saying boy?
Have I been saying that a lot?
Preparing the spells.
Yes, and I'm gonna make you scared so you don't hit me. Stupid old woman. Oh, she's still hitting me. What the frick? Oh no, she's running away. Ha! This is so easy. I should have been using the fear spell earlier. She's literally running. Oh, she came back. She came back and she killed me. Let's try this again.
Sophia, when you click and hold, you do a power attack. Why don't you use that?
Guess I should. I just kind of forget to. There we go. My arm was already up there, and I just raised my body up to it. That's how this works.
Yeah. You're standing there. Like, huh? Torso back in place. Yeah, that one, I think that long read enough to exhaust it. It's a big one. Maybe we'll do another one tomorrow, or the day after.
Perhaps.
Reading is cool.
Oh yeah, tomorrow's Christmas Eve, so...
Yes, tomorrow's Christmas Eve.
New Year's Eve.
And for me, it's already New Year's tomorrow, so it's even more retarded.
It is?
Yeah, it's already 31 for me.
True.
Tomorrow's Christmas Eve.
Whoops! Yeah. Whoops! Ah. Alright.
58 IQ. Did I send you that?
What?
The woman with 58 IQ who put her son in the fridge?
What?
It's really horrible, but it's true. Woman had 58 IQ and put her son in the fridge. Really retarded woman, obviously. Big retard. If you had an unlimited amount of time, do you think you'd be able to make the human race go extinct? So how? What kind of question is that? Why are you presuming I want to do?
Uh-oh. Gotta cast it again. Come on. She's got a lot of health. This woman. Oh, she's on her, she's gonna die. Oh, I missed. Just gotta wait a little bit. Oh, you got the last hit. That was kind of... This is worth some money. Blade of Woe. That's nice. Abandoned chat key. Also nice. Sorry, destroy the Dark Brotherhood in Epic.
What the f- Oh man.
Oh man. Yeah man. Oh man.
I become Jamaican when I'm enraged.
What is going on?
Guy got, like, complained at because he yelled at a kid was, like, choking a kid out, and he yelled at the kid, and this other person said, "Oh, you're a loser. You can't scream at kids unless they're putting themselves in danger." Okay, he's like saying to this person that it's not okay to scream at children when they're choking kittens out.
What?
Dude, spanking is justifiable with that stuff. What is this guy talking about?
Enemies?
Choking a kitten out? What? You crazy? You crazy, man?
Who's nearby? Nobody. Nobody's nearby. You crazy, man? You crazy?
You crazy? You crazy, dog? You crazy, what you up to? Huh?
Guess I should sleep until morning, because there's, I don't know, strange people out here. You guys gonna leave, or, like, you just gonna stay here? You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Are you talking to the audience right now?
I'm talking to...
You guys are gonna stay? You guys gonna leave? You should be ashamed of yourself. I think those three have liked quite well.
We don't really know the backgrounds of these people, so I'm gonna assume I did a good deed. How about that? What's going on here? Gonna go to sleep forever. Yeah, I should get a house. That'll be cool. I never really got any other except for the Breeze home. Okay, there's like mud crabs or something out here. Hello? The game is looking good for you guys, right?
Yeah, it's looking snazzy.
Epic.
It's looking quite niggardly in this evening.
Please let me fast travel. Okay, there we go. Oh, courier. Probably dark feather. What is up with your hair, my man? There's a new lady in charge.
Oh, are you talking to the president right now?
It seems like... Is that his hair? No, okay, it's a do-rag.
No, it's a do-rag. Yeah, somebody must have said that before you.
So what is this? I'm not gonna read it. I'm impatient.
Is that his hair? No, it's a do-rag. What is a do-rag? What is it called, a do-rag? Is it because do is a hairdo?
Also, because I can adopt like 15 children.
Oh, that's related to the do-rag? Well, that doesn't make too much sense.
All right, I need to tell a guard. Lazy bones. Cool. Is there like a Destroy the Thieves Guild quest line?
Maybe, I don't know, I haven't looked up.
Oh man, this is looking smexy. Why is Commander Morrow all the way over there? You know what, it's not my place to ask.
Suddenly becomes respectful of in-game hierarchy. Yeah. You know what? It's not my place to ask.
Uh-oh, vampire, stinky bones. Alright. Conjure the freaking Frost Atronach. I cannot see anything. And I'm dying. So that's cool. He resisted fear. Is that lady's name Greta? My tail is very, makes me go,
Imagine being the driver on a train that somebody jumps in front of. That sucks.
And I cannot see myself. Oh, I know why. Does anyone know the command for slowing down camera speed? I anyways, let's try this again.
Oh no, 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 no. I that gift.
Huh? Accidentally.
I almost pooped myself.
Almost pooped yourself, you say? Seriously, why is he all the way over there?
Not your place to ask, man.
No, I rescind that statement. It doesn't make any sense. Why is the commander like 15 billion miles away from the place he's supposed to be commanding?
He likes to yell.
That's a good one. Should I buy a horse? I don't have money.
It costs 1,000. Yeah. What are you, broke?
Yeah. I started this game yesterday. No, wait.
Who?
Yesterday?
Are you losing track of time, buddy?
Yes. No, Sunday.
Wow, you're straight up smoking crack cocaine.
Stuff is not even that good. Crack cocaine, that is. I smoked 500 blunts and I didn't feel a thing.
500 blunts? Nothing.
Nothing. 5,000 blunts? Nothing. 50,000 blunts? Still nothing.
50,000 blunts? Still nothing.
Smoked freaking meth and I fell asleep in 15 minutes later.
Smoked meth? I fell asleep 15 minutes later.
Oh,
that's a good that's like a good coffee commercial.
But this coffee though, I couldn't sleep for 15 days.
What this coffee though? Smoke crack, I'm napping. Smoke this meth, I'm sleeping 15 Smoke minutes later. What this coffee though? Right here.
Oh shoot, you know who I need to get? I need to get a Carjo, is that his name? The traveling caravan guy.
Wow, I understood nothing you
just
said.
I need to get him as a follower. That's what I'm saying.
You stiggle.
I drank 500 beers and I still don't understand what you're saying.
I snort cocaine, I'm asleep. I smoke crack, it's like pee. I smoke meth. Wait, do you smoke meth?
Yeah. I don't.
I smoke meth. I'm napping. But this coffee though? Something different.
This is loud. This is louder than I even expected.
You're talking about your farts?
All the time, baby.
Very loud farts.
Now this?
30 people watch. You people are retarded.
This coffee?
But this coffee though,
bruh.
I don't even want to know what a Folgy Crystal is.
Bruh, I took, like, heroin in between my toes? Like, 500 times?
I don't think you can use heroin, beer, or weed, because they already make you sleepy.
And I took freaking, like a nap. Put this coffee though, bruh. Bruh, put this coffee though, bruh.
I don't know if we're creative or if we're just really retarded.
That's the same thing.
Is
Ooh,
it?
Stormcloak camp.
Whilst you're listening to this, is drunk out of their mind. But this coffee though.
Okay, I drank like 500.
Okay, I'm seeing 4 again. Why am I seeing 4?
That's a good question. Wait a second. Cure poison. Yeah, let me just raid all your supplies. You're welcome. Join the Stormcloak Rebellion.
I got track marks in my toes.
That's cool.
Feel nothing.
I don't feel nothing, yo. Hombre.
Okay. Going from black to Mexican fast.
Yo, I ate like...
This is like California like neighborhoods.
Spicy tacos, from black man. To Mexican I took a nap. Real fast. But this coffee, though... Bruh. Being retarded and being creative is the same thing.
I never know if I'm funny or if I'm saying exactly what everybody expects me to say.
Adderall.
Cause I expect myself to say the things I say, but I don't know if other people do the same. I don't think they do. Actually. You think other people listen to you like, damn, how did I not think of that? Or do they think, I thought of that, but I just didn't want to say it. These people are retarded. But this coffee dough, real good.
But this coffee dough.
I've been injecting heroin in between my toes for 24 years and never reached anything similar to this coffee.
This coffee dough.
Dough.
I've been injecting heroin into my toe for 24 hours straight.
Into my
and
toe.
And I could not stay awake. I just fell asleep
single
while I was
toe. In. The only toe left after the accident.
I only got one toe, but it made the best of it.
I only got one toe, but I make the best of it. There's no way to do heroin if you only got one toe. There's no in between. There's only toe and no toe.
Oh, shoot. You're right. No, but you can just inject all over the no toe area. You got a bigger surface area.
No.
That's no toe.
It has to be between.
Why?
You can't inject
there's no like out. Veins? Oh, no toe zone?
No veins.
Just none.
No toe zone, no veins. You can't inject in a toe either, it explodes.
I can inject wherever I want. I can inject tamarind into my butt cheeks and I'll still poop.
Cause like, why can't they just inject it in their calf? Cause it's like, no, not good. Injecting heroin in your tendons. Oh man, I'm crashing, I think. I've never had sleep paralysis. I wonder if I'll ever get it.
Your sleep paralysis is not good. Kill everyone
Have
in
you
the
had
sanctuary.
It?
Exclamation mark. No, I've not gotten it. Is the house in Falkreath cool?
Five Nights at Freddy's.
Five Nights at Freddy's. Bruh.
Same bruh is not.
Shut up.
Course corrector retardation.
Shut up. It course corrects anything. I could be driving straight into a wall. And I say bruh, and I'm safe.
It's like open sesame and it's platform 9 3/4 immediately. Uh-huh. Bruh.
Bruh.
Go right through it.
Go right through.
People see like they look at you and they see half a Cadillac hanging out of a wall. As you go like, and it just abruptly stops because the audio has been, you know, entered Gary Mod style.
Gary Mod? Oh.
Gary Mod. Oh, man.
Yeah, man. Yo, who's Gary Mod?
Why is it called Falkreath if the name is Falkreath?
It's not called Falkreath.
It's called Falkreath.
Yeah, it is.
Why is it called Falkreath?
It's not.
People say Falkreath.
The people are retarded.
All people?
No, just people in chat.
What are you talking about? What if everybody jumped off the bridge? Would you do that?
Can I take Shadowmere anyways? Even if they don't want me to?
What if everybody didn't jump off of a bridge? Would you do that since they're retarded? That's a good one. You just trick your kids into doing anything with reverse search their brains.
What is the music of life? Hee hee!
It's Michael Jackson mix. It's
Michael Jackson.
Get like Banjo Kazooie and put Michael Jackson.
A banjo.
Oh yeah, banjo. Sorry, I said it wrong. It's banjo.
What happens when I get in here? They gonna be like, oh, rape on the first freaking date.
What are you talking about? You sound retarded.
Ha ha ha, yeah, ha ha. They're gonna be like, oh, Astrid, you killed her.
They're gonna be like,
immediately? Oh, yes, immediately.
They're gonna be like, brat.
Brat. Brat, you killed Astrid, brat. Oh, I don't get no saves.
You kill our leader, brat.
Brat. Oh, okay.
No way, brat.
Brat, you weren't supposed to do that,
kill
brat.
Our leader and came here, brat, brat.
What the frick, brat? Like, what the frick? Fear, fear, don't hit me, fear.
Oh my god, you just made a death grip song.
Yes.
Fear, fear, don't hit me, fear. Wow, that's good. Make it.
I will. I'm making songs all the time. My throat hurts right now because I was screaming all morning.
For
a song.
What song about?
About, you know, pooping, you know, as you make songs about, you know.
Yeah, the screaming makes a lot more sense, though.
Farting and stuff and doing drugs. But mainly the pooping. Why don't you kill me right now, big butt? Actually, don't do that.
That sounds like an old.
Oh shoot! He's starting to rip.
What? What you doing right now, big butt?
I just died.
That sounds like a Clint Eastwood movie. Why don't you just kill me right now, big butt?
Why don't you just kill me right now, big butt? All right, please leave me alone.
Apologize to my mule. Why don't you just kill me right now, big butt? You both sound like you're high on painkillers. Oh, I wish.
Maybe you sleep. Oh no, don't run over there. No. That's like a bad place. That's where the other people are.
That's like a bad place.
It is. Alright. Then I'll give you the other N-word of frenzy. And I miss because I'm retarded.
I'm a retarded as you make no. As you make
as call you make
them.
No. Not here. Rape someone else, please. Just for today. I'll let you rape me later.
Clint Torres.
Clint Torres. Just saying it like, sounds like you're saying it like you're nasally.
Clint Torres. Men have the beanus.
Men have the beanus.
We got the Clint Torres.
We got the Clint Torres. The beanus.
The beanus. And women.
Man, it got
Glendora's in vagina. Vagina.
Vagina. Sounds like an illness.
Vagina sounds
yeah,
like an
it's
illness.
It's really bad. It's not good.
I've got some Glendora's on my foot.
You come back
Stepped
here.
On some oh, mushrooms.
No. Black prison. No, please leave me alone.
Oh my god. You are Mel Gibson.
Who's Mel Gibson?
You really don't know who Mel Gibson is?
Not particularly.
Mel Glendoris.
No, I'm really getting raped now. Like, before it was like, aha, you're just like, haha, whatever. No, it's rape.
Oh my god, you are embarrassed when you play Skyrim.
Oh no!
Oh my god.
I died.
Glindorous. Oh, there we go.
I'm unbearable? What are you talking about? This is funny. It's like my natural funny habitat. Actually, no, you're the wrong person to frenzy on, because, like, you know.
A pack of red guards, yeah. Does he call them a pack, or is it, like, something else? What is it with women having... or like personality disorder?
That's a good question.
You're retarded.
Let me through. No.
Are women retarded? I'm asking the tough questions.
This guy should cast fear on. That's like the good decision. If I do pacify, that's gotta work. Come on.
Isn't that a Melly Martinez song? Oh, you just got, like, straight up bonged by the Arab horn.
Yeah. Big. Got a bong. Big.
By the Arab horn. Arab horn. It's like a... Yeah, it's a Viking. It's an Arab horn.
Go! I will literally rape you if you just go down there. No, actually, I won't. Like, that's... Oh! Pacify. Don't do anything. You stay right there. And come on. You can go down the stairs. I believe in you. Can't be that hard. Bruh. You guys insulting me in the chat? I feel like that's what's happening.
I feel like that's what's happening. It doesn't even look.
Just feel like it. You know, it's just like a... Be scared.
Retard is saying retard without the hard R. You sound retarded, like, talk like that. How am I hearing you? You're like a child YouTube comment. You ever had to use a suppository?
No.
Me neither.
Most people don't.
Apparently, most people don't? I thought it was like a common thing when kids like puke.
You don't like... The first option is not to shove something with their butt. The frick?
What's the second option?
The second option is like make them drink something?
Yeah, what if they puke the drink? Oh. They're puking.
I don't know, like a pill?
Where do I put the pill in his...
Down his throat?
Ear? Yeah, he pukes, Sophia.
Yeah, but that's the same thing as the drink.
Okay, what if he pukes? It's in his stomach. He's puking for no reason. There's a stomach thing and he's puking, you can't really solve that. I'm gonna put it up the butt.
You're excited to put things up your yeah. butt, right?
Not too much.
Oh.
That's why they usually do it when... Although, yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember it being that.
Uh-oh. Big trouble. Oh, big gonna get raped. Before you can do anything.
You ever had Groundhog's Day?
Groundhog's Day?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Some people
have valuable stuff.
I took a suppository once, now I'm addicted to anal sex. Whoa. Crazy. You ever watch V4 Vendetta? Yeah, it's funny that, like, Alan Moore is a total homo, but the guy who the V guy is based off of is actually, like, not. I took my girlfriend's suppository and I now am here, sissy boy. Dude, you're retarded. You're straight up retarded. Yeah, I feel like we're ruining the stream now.
Talking about suppositories? How did suppositories even get brought up? Seems like a.
I don't remember. I think I remembered it from a podcast I heard. Aside from all the lib trash, I am OP for Vendetta has messed. I don't remember what the message was. But yeah, isn't it like anonymous? You don't forgive? Like something like that. I need to piss. I think I ought to go to sleep. Probably can do it now.
Sounds alright. This is not good.
What is happening?
I was about to get raped. And I did get raped, actually.
That happens. Okay, I think I'm going now with this one.
What?
Don't Good night.
Good night. Yes. Alright, I think I'm gonna close up the stream because it's gonna take forever. But it'll work. I'll do it. I'll do it one day. Dark Brotherhood, N words. Wait a second. Just gonna. Piss out. Have a good night. See you next year. Indeed. I'm just gonna wait for the rewards to distribute. But I hope you enjoy the stream. Just figure out how to level my destruction. I'm gonna just play Skyrim for the rest of the night. The freaking idiot. Swim was the luckiest tonight. Alright.